You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
Good morning. I'm Sheila. I'm super excited today about what I get to talk about. We are this month focusing on Amazing Grace. That was our theme for prayer and fasting, and hopefully our theme for 2020. When I saw the title, The First Day of Prayer and Fasting, I'd seen it before, but I thought, you know, we sing Amazing Grace, and they're just such familiar words to me. And I said, Lord, in 2020, could I actually be amazed by your grace? So I'm making a little list in my phone, and I'm going to trust that there's moments in 2020 when I actually have those times where I see the grace of God in my life and in yours, and I'm amazed. And I'm going to write them down. And hopefully by December 31st, I trust, I know that there'll be things about God's grace that I'm amazed about this year. If you didn't participate, if you didn't get a chance, if you didn't get the booklet, I actually went on and looked. The app is still available. So if you even just want to go through those, the devotionals for the Amazing Grace Every Nation app, feel free to do it. There's some really good stuff in there. Just a little bit of reading and some Bible verses, a video for each of the weeks. So if you didn't get to join with us 2 weeks ago, it's not too late to have your own taste of the amazing grace material that we have, that we've produced in our Every Nation family. So today we're going to talk about an aspect of Amazing Grace. We're going to talk about enriching grace. And I'm really excited about this. I said to Bert, I'm really excited about this because I really believe in this, but that sounds like there's things I talk about up here that I don't believe in, so that wasn't the right word. But I really believe I've experienced in my life the enriching grace of God. And so I hope today you catch some of that and that I can encourage you in 2020 in receiving from God and giving. So I was about 17, I think. I wish I could remember exactly when it was. Oh, I didn't finish the rest. How Amazing Grace transforms our finances. So I was about 17. I had a couple years before that really put my trust in God. I knew nothing about giving. Well, actually, I knew something, because in my mind, giving was something that somebody else did, not me. So I went to a Friday evening youth service. I grew up in Kitchener. God was really moving among youth in the 1970s. Now we call it the Jesus movement. Yeah, but God is really doing things. And there was a large youth get together that I went to every Friday night. One particular Friday night, it came time for the offering, which was a moment I had ignored. And that night something happened, and I don't know what it was, but I remember it so clearly and distinctly because it marked my life forever. In a moment, I knew that I was supposed to give in that offering everything that was in my wallet. Now, I had a minimum wage job, and I looked. In that time, minimum wage was $2.65. I had a minimum wage part-time job. I probably worked 8 hours a week, which is about $20 and change. And in my wallet was $8. And I knew, there it is, not that $8. Has anybody ever seen a $1 bill before? I happen to have some of them, so I took some pictures. In that moment, I knew that I was supposed to give what was in my wallet, and it was $8. And I remember it because it was a life-changing moment. How do you know it was $8? Because it was a life-changing moment. I knew something happened when I put that in that basket that went by. A change in my heart and my attitude towards money and towards giving to God. I had never heard about tithing. That came later in my life. But, you know, when I heard it, I knew something, and I responded to that. And I've tithed for my lifetime, and I married a guy who believed in tithing, and his story is similar. So we're going to talk about money, and people talk about money in church. Yeah, the Bible doesn't have any problem talking to you about your money, so neither will I. So we're reflecting today on God's enriching grace, the transformation that happens in our finances, the transformation that happens in our heart toward our finances when we encounter the grace of God. We're going to read this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 11. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that having all sufficiency in all things, at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us produces thanksgiving to God. Father, as we look into your word today, I pray for a transformation, a growth in our hearts, in Jesus' name. Well, this chunk of Corinthians is actually, if we had time, we could actually read all of chapter 8 and all of chapter 9, because in this chunk, as Paul is writing this letter to the Corinthians, he's talking about money. He's talking about giving. It says, the point is this. If I walked up and I heard you say to your friend, the point is this, I would know that I had missed a whole lot of your conversation. That was probably a whole lot of things that you had said prior to that. Well, that's how it is in this letter. Beginning in chapter 8, Paul starts to tell a story. He's talking to the Corinthians, and he's talking to them about the churches in Macedonia. And he says this, we want you to know, I'm writing this letter because I want you to know something. I want you to know about the grace of God in the churches of Macedonia. He said, in severe loss and affliction. Okay, so he's talking about people in poverty, loss, and affliction, the churches in Macedonia. He said, In this test, in this affliction, in their poverty, their abundance of joy has overflowed in generosity. In the midst of their lack and poverty and affliction, what was overflowing was generosity. He said, the Macedonians, they gave according to their means or their ability. He says, I can testify to this. They gave according to their means or their ability, and beyond their means, they gave of their own accord, because it was something they wanted to do, of their own decision, of what was on the inside of them. So Paul says the point is this, and I'm going to say the point is this. I got 6 points. Paul had one. My point is this. The point is this, giving. It's about our attitude. The point is this, it's about action. The point is this, it's about preparing. The point of this, it's about proof. The point is this, battle. And the point is this, benefit. The point is this, attitude. So let's talk about the attitude of the Macedonians, maybe the Corinthians, and maybe us. Paul, this chunk that we read about sowing and reaping, where Paul said, if you give a lot, you'll get a lot. If you give little, you'll get little. Paul was creating a context for this by telling the story of the Macedonians. They had a little, and yet out of the joy in their hearts, they gave beyond their ability. Affliction, extreme poverty, yet giving beyond their means. In fact, Paul said, they begged. Begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. In the midst of their own affliction, their attitude was such that they begged, please, let us give, let us be a part. When Bert and I got married in 1985, he had a grandmother who was 85. I didn't have a grandma. So when I married him, I got a grandma. Grandma lived till she was 101, so I had a grandma for a really long time. And she loved the Lord. She loved Jesus. And she was a delight to be around. And she loved telling stories of the goodness of God in her life. And one of my favorites had to do with her attitude towards giving. She told me that, let me go back to 1940, when she was 40 years old, her husband died. This was not a good time. This was between the World Wars. World War II had started. It was after the Dirty 30s, the Great Depression. And they were farmers in Manitoba. So we're not talking rich people here. We're talking people who are trying to figure out how to be sure there was food on the table. So when she was 40 years old, her husband died. She still had three kids at home. And she said to me, you know, in the early 40s, people actually out in rural Manitoba were starting to get telephones. And she said, I had a decision to make. I could either make sure that each of my kids had 10 cents in their hand to put in that offering plate on Sunday, or to get a telephone. And she said, I chose to give to God. And then she'd go on and tell me stories about how God provided for her. At that point, she was in her 90s. So the 50 years plus after that. But that attitude she had towards giving and hearing her stories marked me, because there was that sense of giving to God, even if there's something in life that maybe seems like a necessity. But in reality, I can live without. Grandma's, we called her great grandma because she was my kid's great grandma. So great grandma's attitude towards giving marked me. The second point is action. The point is this, action. To the Corinthians, Paul said this. So he's told the story of the Macedonians. And he says, see that you excel in this act of grace also. See that you excel in this act of grace. He said, Paul said to them, as you excel in faith, sounds like a good thing for a Christian, a believer to do, excel in your faith. As you excel in speech, yeah, we can nod our heads to that one because we know that what comes out of our mouth should edify and build people up. He said, excel in knowledge, and grow in our knowledge of God, as you excel in love. He says, excel also in this act of grace. And he's talking about giving. Excel in this act of grace. Effort is required, as it is to grow in all areas of your life. If you want to grow in knowledge of God, you probably should read the Bible. If you want to grow in the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, you got to practice those things. If you want to grow in the grace of giving, you're going to have to put some effort in. Grace. This quote was in our devotional for Amazing Grace Fasting Week, this quote by Dallas Willard. Grace is not opposed to effort. I'll stop there for a second, because sometimes when we think grace, you know, oh, just let it all come that way. Grace is not opposed to effort. It's opposed to earning. Understand the difference. I don't give to God because I think he's going to throw down lightning bolts. I don't give to God to get his favor. I don't give to God to get stuff back from him. Nonetheless, grace is not opposed to effort. Earning is an attitude. Effort is an action. We're talking about action here. Excelling in the grace of God is going to require action. The point is to prepare. So, in this long chapter 8 and chapter 9, Paul's told the story, and he's sending some of his fellow workers in the gospel to the church at Corinth. And he says this about it. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead to you and arrange in advance for the gift you had promised, so that it may be ready as a willing gift, not an exaction. I thought it necessary, Paul says. So if you read about this stuff, it sounds like the Corinthians had like promised a year before to give some money. You know those moments when you kind of have that thing, yeah, I need to give to that, and then you have all the reasons in the world not to do it. I'm not sure what had gone on in that year, but They had promised ahead of time. Paul is saying, here we come. Prepare the gift. Be ready. Arrange in advance for the gift that you ahead of time had promised. Prepare to give. Are you ready? Are you ready to give in 2020? Well, each one must give as he has decided or purposed in his heart. There is a preparation that starts inside here that you purpose. You say, yes, I'm going to give. I'm going to give to God. I was thinking about what 21st century arranging in advance might look like. Now, here's what I do. I'm a little old, but here is what I do. I prepare in advance. I actually write a check. You probably don't even have a checkbook. I do. I write a check ahead of time. And I fill out my envelope at home and I bring it ahead of time. Maybe arranging in advance might be visiting the ATM on the way to church. Maybe arranging in advance is it's time this year for you to set up that push pay, automatic giving. What does it look like to arrange in advance? What does it look like to arrange your life in advance? Maybe it means it's this year's a year to budget, to say, if I'm going to be faithful to the Lord, if I'm going to prepare to actually give to God, if I want to have that attitude and put action to it, then what does it look like ahead of time to be ready to give? Each one must give as he has purposed in his heart. Are you purposing to give in 2020? Number four, the point is this: proof. Huh? Yeah, proof. Paul said to the church of Corinth, he told the story, he's addressing them about their giving, and he says, so give proof before the churches of your love and of our boasting about you to these men. He said, you want to prove your love? You actually prove your love by your giving. Proof of what? I believe that giving is the proof that you know the grace of our Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, in the midst of what we've been reading and looking at, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So in the midst of him talking about giving and challenging the church in Corinth to be sacrificial as the Macedonians were, he says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by your poverty you might become rich. I believe that as we encounter the grace of God in our life, the grace that says, that is that enriching grace, that says everything I have was his anyway, and if I have it, if I didn't have it, it comes from him. Your giving is evidence that you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give proof before the churches of your love and of our boasting. Paul had been boasting. Listen, these Corinthians, they're going to do what they said they were going to do. He's going, don't let me down here. I've been boasting about you. Your giving is actually measurable proof that you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you trust him. You know, it's hard to measure if you're more loving than what you were last year. And it's kind of hard to measure unless you're in school that you know more about God than you did last year. It's super easy to measure your generosity. In a couple of weeks, Every Nation GTA gives you your tax receipt. Super practical. Yeah, right. I'm talking about that standing up here. Well, you'll get your tax receipt, and maybe other charities that you donate towards, you'll get your tax receipt. Measuring your generosity is actually pretty easy. So the point is this: proof. The next one is the point is this: battle. Funny, interesting thing. If we could have time to read all of these chapters. Following chapter 8 and 9, which are all about money, is chapter 10, right? 8, 9, 10. Well, here is a here's an interesting thing to think about. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. Now, you can use this for a lot of different things. We do. we do apply this, and it does apply to a lot of the battle in our life. But take it for a minute in the context following all this stuff about giving and money and our attitude towards generosity. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. I believe that it's a battle to give, to be generous, to purpose that this is how you're going to live your life, to purpose that maybe I'm here, but I want to grow to here, so I'm going to take steps, and I'm going to plan, and I am going to take these steps of generosity. I believe it's a battle. We're waging war. We're waging a war against a lot of voices. Maybe it's the voices inside of you. I can't, I couldn't, I wouldn't. Maybe you're having trouble with grandma, great-grandma doing without a phone and thinking, oh, is there something I'm supposed to do without to give? Maybe there is. There's voices outside of us. There's voices of family members that say, don't do that. How can you do that with your money? There's a lot of voices. There's a war, that fleshly kind of worldly war that we're going to wage warfare against as we give. Pastor Timothy Low, one of our Every Nation pastors in Malaysia, wrote this: giving is not for a select few, but everyone must learn to be generous. Giving should result from inward resolve, not from an impulsive or casual decision. That purposing in your heart, planning, preparing, an inward resolve. It's not for the select few. Nobody said it would be easy. Another one of Paul's letters, the letters to the Philippians, Paul really didn't have any trouble talking to people about their money. And in the book of Philippians, he's talking to the church in Philippi about giving and about them giving towards him, helping Paul do the things that God had called him to do. And he said something interesting, and I want to reiterate this today. Well, let's look at the whole thing, because let's start with the last sentence, because most people who have any knowledge of the Bible or sense of Christianity love the last sentence. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Yes, we'll put it on a magnet and stick it on our fridge. But you know, if you read the whole chapter, chapter 4, and even this little bit we have here, it's all about giving. My God will supply all your needs. But the assumption there is that you're faithful in giving to God what goes to him first. So, but here's the interesting thing. One other thing I want to point out in this is, here's what Paul said in this paragraph. He said, look, I'm not seeking the gift. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. Not that I seek the gift. Why am I up here talking about this? Because I know this in my life. I know the fruit of this. I know the supernatural provision of God in our lives. I know the things that should have broken down and didn't. I know the gifts given to us. I know sometimes when money just seems to go farther than money should, whatever that might look like. I know the supernatural work of God in the area of finances in my life. And I've been doing this a long time. I'm not seeking the gift, but I know the credit. I know the benefit that's there for you. That God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. He will. And he's got a lot. And it's the battle to trust and believe that that's the God of grace that we serve. Well, my final point. The point is this benefit. Paul said this to the Corinthians, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. That all sufficiency there, It actually could be translated all contentment. That you can be content. Think about that with money. That you can be content in all things at all times and abound in every good work. Randy Alcorn. If you ever want to read or listen to really good stuff about giving, this man's story, which if I had time to tell you, I would, is phenomenal. In fact, write his name down, take a picture. Randy Alcorn says this: God prospers me not to raise my standard of living, but to raise my standard of giving. That verse that I read previously said that you may abound in every good work. Didn't necessarily say that you may abound in the biggest house or the nicest car or the best schools. It said that God's going to make his grace abound to you, that you may abound in every good work. It comes in. We read in earlier today, it comes in that we may have seed to sow again. You say you believe, and you do, and it's seen through your generosity. So, the point is this benefit. Who benefits? Well, it says thanksgiving's given to God. Who benefits? Well, it says God satisfies all your needs. Who benefits? Well, there's great thanksgiving for the people whose needs you met. There's benefit in giving. That night that I gave $8 back in the 1970s. Now the rest of the story. So I was out with friends. I was at this worship service with friends. I knew I was supposed to give everything that was in my wallet. I did. And then the friend said, let's go to Mother Tucker's. And I'm thinking, okay, there's no debit cards back in the olden days, right? You either have cash or you have nothing. So I'm thinking, well, I'll just go and drink water. And I was really quite content with that. And I wasn't going to tell anybody what I had just done because I really did feel like that was between me and God. And we sat down at the table and my friend Curtis said, oh, and by the way, order whatever you want. I'm paying the entire bill tonight. Now, I didn't know that was going to happen. And that wasn't the purpose of me giving to God. But I knew. Somehow inside of me, I knew that if I was faithful to give to God, he was going to look after me. You know, as a 16 or 17-year-old, that was a super, super good life lesson in the grace of God. So here we are. It's 2020, and we're going to have some action points. Action points for 2020 on your attitude and your action. Set some 2020 giving goals. You know, maybe it's time to make a plan to give like you've never given before. Preparation and proof. What's your first step? What's your next step? Maybe you've never given. Maybe this morning when the offering bag goes around, you're the one who's supposed to reach in there and whatever you have in that pocket or elbow your next door neighbor. Can I borrow 10 bucks? Maybe it's the first time. Pay them back though, or else it's not really your gift. Yeah. But maybe today's the day. It's the time to take that first step in giving. It'll change your life. It'll set you on a new course. Maybe today's the day, right this second, to pull out your cell phone and be ready that when the ways to give comes up and it says text ENGTA to 77, whatever it says, maybe today's the day you're to text some money, to set up an automatic payment. What's your first step that you're supposed to take? Maybe it's time to take a next step. As I was getting ready for church this morning, I thought, oh, I'm going to get up here and say this. I need to talk to Bert before the day's out. Is there a next step we're supposed to take in 2020 with our giving? Maybe there's something else we're supposed to be doing. Maybe you have a next step you're supposed to take. And the battle and the benefit. I know, I know who I've believed. That Timothy, in the letter to Timothy, it says, I know who I've believed, and I'm convinced that he's able to keep forever that which I've entrusted to him. I know that as I entrust my finances to God, he enriches me in every way. He has looked after me for a really long time now, and I know he'll do the same for you. You will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, and through us, will rejoice and will give thanksgiving to God. My final just thought, I grew up in the Lutheran church, and at the end of the offering basket, so it's a liturgical service. You do like the same thing every week, week in and week out, except the songs change and sometimes the sermon, but at the end of the offering, we actually sang a little piece of Psalm 51. And Psalm 51 is David's repenting of his sin with Bathsheba. Won't tell you the story today if you don't know it. But he goes, David says, create in me a clean heart, O God. And you know, week in, week out through all my childhood years, after the offering plate went around, we sang, create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit within me, cast me not away from your presence, take not your Holy Spirit from me, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. It took me a really long time to realize why that was important at the end of giving to God. Because probably every week, we need to reposition our heart and say, God, I want to be as generous as you have been to me. I want my generosity to reflect your grace. Would you create in me a clean heart? Once again, create in me a clean heart. So let's pray. Father, I pray that this year, 2020, would be a year for each one here and each one listening. That the generosity, as we've been enriched by you, that the generosity of the one who gave it all for us, who did not spare but gave his very son for us, would be expressed through our giving. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.